Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is September 25th, 2002. Today's session is entitled Song Leader Training, and it's presented by Mary Pruse and Tom Witt. It is number 2002-13.
Grant us your salvation. Lord, Lord,
let us see.
Let us see your kindness. Lord, Lord,
grant us your salvation.
Grant us your salvation.
Lord,
Lord, Lord, let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation.
I will hear what God proclaims.
God proclaims
peace to the people.
Peace to the people.
Come to those who fear your name.
Fear your name.
Glory dwelling in our land.
Glory dwelling in our
land. We're singing,
Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation. Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation.
Truth and kindness now shall meet.
Now shall meet. Peace kissing justice.
Truth shall spring out from the earth.
From the earth.
Justice reign from heaven.
Justice reign from heaven.
I will sing,
Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation. Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 your salvation.
God will give us benefits.
Benefits.
Dancing at the harvest.
Dancing at the harvest.
Justice now will lead the way.
Lead the way.
Footprints of salvation.
Footprints of salvation.
We sing in
Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation. Lord, 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 let us see your kindness. Lord, 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 grant us your salvation.
Amen. I'm really surprised that there's this many people here. It's really nice to see you. Are you in the right one? So I'm letting you hear from Kristen here. I'm glad to hear. Has anybody here been to a song leading training workshop of any sort before? You have? Okay.
One that you give.
Oh, really? Okay.
In 2 years.
Okay. I was about to say that Mary and I have never done.
The one you did in Pasco.
We have done that. This is our first time of getting a little bit deeper and actually doing hands-on training and having people practice. So we're really excited for this. I have actually been to one two-session training when Mary and I were privileged to go to a workshop in Taiwan, and there was a World Council of Churches person there, a song leader, Terry MacArthur, who led a workshop for us and actually had those of us who came come up and lead songs and critique us and to give us feedback. And I found it nerve-wracking, scary, but very helpful. And so many people have asked us when we've done these a session like yesterday, well, how can I get better at this? What are some other tips that you have? And so we decided at this Living Liturgy that we would do a more hands-on training. So I hope all of you, or at least some of you, are interested in doing that.
How many of you have brought a song to teach and lead?
Oh, half a dozen.
You make
me. Yeah, we make you. Yeah.
Now, for those of you, I mean, what we could do is tell everyone else to leave, and just work with the six, and it would be a lot easier on the six of you. So, the rest of you are guests at this workshop. If you haven't brought a song to leave, yeah.
So you said to bring a song that other people don't really know, and I didn't think I could do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we
bring whatever. I mean, it's okay if people know it. We can That's fine.
Well, thank
we'll
you.
Pretend like we don't know it. That's one way to go.
Yeah, let's just pretend like we don't know it. And you're going to get a lot of information, and really the best thing is just try something, and you learn from doing some things well and learning some other things. So what I do want to do before we start is just refer a little bit to this sheet, back to the sheet that we handed out yesterday. If you don't have a copy, there's more there. And I want to look at a couple of the ones that we didn't talk about too much that I just want to reiterate before we get started. Number four, for you should be somewhat comforting. Then feel free to use a plain and a clear singing style. You don't have to be an opera star to do this. And I had somebody tell me yesterday how that helped him when I said that I think it was in Yakima when we were there that I sonically have a very average voice. I'm not a soloist. I don't sing on any solos in churches. But I can sonically. Hopefully I can. I've had people tell me that I can. But it isn't because my voice is all that pleasant. It's just simply that I've learned a few tips. So feel free to use your voice in that way, and don't feel like it has to be perfect. Number six, I hope that we learn today how to give clear instructions about what you want people to do. And it can be as easy as what Mary just did. Please sing after me. Sometimes that's all you need to say. Other times it's a little more complicated than that. What you need to do is just simply be clear with your gestures and with how you introduce the song so that people aren't confused. Number eight is a little bit like that. When songs are too long, sometimes you need to split them up into smaller sections. This is a cultural thing. If you lived in Africa, in certain parts of Africa, you could teach an eight-line song and everyone would be able to sing it back to you because they grew up in a tradition, an oral tradition, where they remember that way and learn that way. And we have a friend, Soa Mensah, who told us this, that you can sing much longer phrases in other cultures sometimes than you can here. But we're not used to it, so you have to split things up into short, manageable sections. Now, a congregation sometimes can be trained to learn longer phrases as you go on, and you'll know your parish. Can they sing that back? Well, yeah, I guess they can by now, and so you can start teaching longer sections. I'm going to, let's see, is there anything else you wanted to point out?
I think we've said most of everything else.
Okay. Our plan really is, what we'd like to do is to have some of you, you know, the brave for soul to do this. I'm going to actually teach a song now that I've never taught before, so I'm a little nervous about it. And then I want you to do it with me. Oh, I know, the first thing I wanted to do is maybe that we would have a, look at number five. We talked about this yesterday, make use of your hands to mark pitch changes. I think we should all practice this, because it's a good skill to learn, whether you're going to teach a song today or not. And I thought that we would use a song that that most of us know. And should we all stand?
Let's try.
Okay, you have to do it in your chairs, but I'm going to teach to you a song called Holy, Holy, Holy. Mm-hmm. And the first two lines are very similar, and the second and fourth are different. There's four lines, and I'm going to teach you the first line. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
Lord God Almighty.
Lord God Almighty.
Early in the morning, our songs shall rise to thee. Let me do that over. Songs shall rise to thee. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee.
Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee.
Holy, 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 merciful and mighty.
Holy, holy, holy.
if that was four lines. Was it more than four? Was it? Okay. Critique me on that. Could I have done something better? It's the first time I've ever done that to Holy, Holy, Holy.
You could have practiced it more.
I should have known the words.
With your friends and family.
And I think I sang one of the lines wrong. Holy, Holy, Holy,
Mercy, Holy, Holy. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
Pitched it lower.
I could have pitched it lower?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's probably lower than it actually is in the LBW, but that's pretty high. Yeah. You got to watch out for that pitch thing. Yeah. You can't be too low and you can't be too high. I actually thought that pitch was good myself. It might have been felt too high for you in particular, but you do have to think about that pitch thing with the whole spectrum.
Yeah. I think one of the things would be, this is just a personal preference, is that I prefer when I'm singing to not do the hand motions, but when I want people to sing, then to do the hand motions.
Yeah. Oh.
So when you're singing and doing hand motions, that's a couple things going on up here, and it's complicated.
Yeah. And remember, you'd never have your whole congregation do this like we're doing.
We're just doing that for the sake of practice.
Yeah, to make you think of it. I just want to say something about these pitch indicators. The same thing that I was saying to my colleagues about being a choir director, that when you learn from choir directors that you can do less, sometimes less is more, instead of more. You think you want them to sing louder and bigger, and so you start running up. And really, sometimes it can be a very small gesture. The same thing with these pitches. It, for one thing, you can get yourself way off the mark if you go, holy, holy, and now I'm at my full capacity, and now I have to go, my God. So you really want to think actually about how far the interval is from each other. Da da ba da ba. Now you're only going to get a step. Da 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 dee dum. Right? So try to keep it, what you're indicating to people is whether you're going down or up. And whether it's a big step up or a big step down. So it doesn't have to be quite so huge unless you're in a really big room.
I'll tell you why I disagree with Mary a little bit. It's precisely for that reason, is that I don't think it has as much to do with the spaces in between as how far you are away from people. If I'm in a big parish, I got to go like this. So, and Marty does it a little bit too much. Marty's always kind of jumping up here for his really high notes. I think it's also...
Let's blame it on Marty.
When you're doing notes that you think people might be unsure of, especially a high one, now we're going to go to a high note, I would go up on my toes just because I think that's how people have to think, not because that's exactly where the note is. If somebody's got to go lower than I think they think they have to go, I'm going to go like this, even though the note's probably here. When I think santo, santo, santo. Now, normally you'd sing santo, santo.
Right,
we're going down the scale, but you got to go below that. So I'd go santo, santo, santo. Now, Mary would probably disagree with me that I may be going too low with
the
my
The only
hands,
thing I try to pay attention to when you're song leading is if you see people going too low because you made a big jump. Santo, santo, then they want to go way down low because you went way low. So just pay attention. If people are finding it, then you're fine.
Okay. Did you have a question here?
I was just curious as to whether you felt that the you had to keep mindful of the actual intervals, you know, I mean, where,
I
you're like, is this your starting place?
No, and I don't think so either. No, I think I only say that you keep mindful of how much of a jump it is between them. Right.
And my only thing is, if you do them too small, people just don't. When they're that far away, they don't notice where you're going.
Yeah.
And I think it's just stylistic differences.
And you know, figure it out yourself by what happens when you go like this. Are they going or aren't they? You know.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, when you're going like this, what does that mean?
That means be quiet. I'm singing. I don't always do that, but sometimes, especially with Lutherans, they like singing right away. You know, listen first, and if they've heard it all, they'll join in with you. But maybe it's a little bit different, and so I go like this. You know, if you want to really be stirring, you go like this. Marty does that sometimes, but we do this and this.
Is it a problem if somebody else sings along? They know
just it? If you're teaching something and you want everyone to hear what the note is, and you have other people teaching and they may know it, may not know it. I mean, if everyone knows it, then I don't. Then you don't need to be teaching maybe as much as you think you do. But if I want people to be quiet, I usually Like when I did Señor Tempidad, Señor Tempidad, Cristo Tempidad,
Cristo Tempidad.
That's just clear. I think people know what to do.
And it's easier to learn off one voice than on the one voice.
Yeah. Okay.
What about the issue of the music stand when you're trying to do the intervals?
We don't even have one. We should have one, but there's one. Yeah, I mean, that's hard.
It can be in the way.
That's what I was concerned
about. I'm tall, so,
I'm short.
Yeah, I mean, you can put the music stand on or you can step over here.
Okay.
The problem is if you don't know a song quite well enough, then you have to have the music and look down at it. I mean, that some songs are like that. You're not quite confident. I mean, Mary had a book, and she successfully led that song, so she was modeling that.
But I was thinking right in the middle of it that it would be better if I had that memorized. So
it was nice having that model because a lot of times that's
the case.
And
sometimes you're teaching a song with a lot of words that, and actually people will have music. They don't know the song, they have music. And what you're doing is you're freeing them up to concentrate on the text, and they're hearing the melody so that they can learn it more easily. You're not always just teaching paperless songs. Yeah.
I mean, you could direct with one hand.
Just
off to the side so you can still look.
Yes.
And then kind of do it with one hand.
Yeah. We prefer not to do choir directing when we're song leading. I think that's a different experience for a congregation. Mm-hmm. Just turn them into choir and always be waving your hands. You might feel differently about that. But
if you get a chance to experience worship in other parts of the world at all, there are some animators from other parts of the country that will get up in front of a congregation, and they're choir directors, semi-professionally trained, and they will conduct the entire congregation as though it were a choir. And I found it to be incredibly distracting, maybe being a choir director myself, but as Tom said, no, I agree with you on that. Do pitches when you need to, and then the other thing about that is have all of us have the experience of like a children's choir director who does pitches too much, and they never stop. They're directing three verses for the kids of the same thing that you assume they've even already practiced. Now, why is that director still going like this? Because that should be over. So once you've indicated to people the pitch and you can hear that they're singing correctly, then stop. And you can just turn to the side or just stand there and sing with them.
You don't need 100% of the people to know the song before it can go. I don't think you need more than like 40% to make it go in the parish. That's why it's great to cheat by teaching a song to your choir. And then you've got 10% right there. So all you need is like 30% of the people to learn it. And then the others will just sort of gradually learn it. I know I'm making up those figures, but I don't feel like you have to have every mouth in the congregation moving and singing it exactly right. But you'll know when it's there. Yeah.
You've taught a lot of songs without doing pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you make the judgment about just if you think it's more complicated? Or?
Usually, I think that's it. If you're just singing, "Come, let us worship God," and that's all the longer the line is, I'm assuming people can hear that and sing those correctly. I also operate, I don't know about you, Tom, off of a sort of a direct Pavlovian response. If I can hear right away that people haven't quite got it, the next time we do it, I'll put my hand up there and give pitches.
There's a question back there.
One of the things I noticed, at least I think, was either the second or the second line, you did more of it at one time. You didn't break it up as small.
That's ever having done it before.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was, even though as well as we all know that song, made it harder for me to follow.
That's a good tip, is to always, if you're splitting up the song, be a little bit consistent on how you split it up.
Right.
Unless, if you've got, let's say, one line, and you've split the first line in half, and you've done the second line, and then the third line is the same as the first, you might be able to say, okay, now we're going to do this whole thing together. I mean, you can kind of shorten up your teaching time by combining lines if they're the same as a previous line. Some of that's just economy of time. If you're at the beginning of service, you don't have 15 minutes to teach this. You might have 5 at the most to teach a song. So, yeah.
What about the verse? So that was, if you were having your teach a chorus, well, what about you have a, now you have 5 verses. Are you just going to run through one verse?
Well, it depends what kind of song it is. I mean, some of the songs we've been teaching, the congregation is singing the chorus and then cantors are singing the verses, so we don't need to teach those. Other songs, you want to respond to this in any way? Give an example of a song and you teach a verse.
Well, what's interesting is that often, now that I'm thinking about it, when we do a song that has verse and chorus, we'll do it like that psalm setting that I just did. The verse will have a kind of response within it. Mm-hmm. I will hear what God proclaims. And then you get to say a little part of it. Or I'm thinking of, let us put on the clothes of Christ and let us equals with everyone. We learn that whole refrain, although we would never do that one without music, I don't think. But even within that one, the verse has a call and a response pattern to it. If you're doing a song that has verses and a chorus, I'm assuming that right there you're using a piece of music.
That everyone has a piece of paper that they're looking at. Then you can teach the verse in the same way that the chorus. You know, I would teach the whole chorus so the people knew that. Then I would teach the verse. But most likely, if I was going to use the song more than once, I would teach a congregation the chorus and have the choir do the verse or a cantor do the verse. Then the next Sunday might make it more. And then I'd say, okay, we've learned the chorus last week. This week we're going to learn how to sing the verses. So I wouldn't give them too much to do.
And how much do you do this during the service? Or is this mostly before the service?
Almost none during the service. Mostly before. A little bit. I would give little, this is just a preference, I would give little short instructions like, please sing back what you hear. I would do that during a service. Or I might say, what would we say during a service?
Join on the refrain.
Yeah.
So really that they know not to sing the verse.
But when you start making instructions, okay, we're going to sing this song, and it's got three verses, but you sing on two, and harmonies on, you know, I think that that sometimes interrupts the flow of the worship, and it just sounds like this is some big, you know, concert.
Nobody can ever remember all those instructions
anymore. And do you put them in the bulletin, and then women sing verse 5 and 6? And
or teach it at the beginning. Teach the song at the beginning and do it exactly how you're going to do it. Or both. Yeah.
We're going to be into a whole new settings in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. How do you go about just that process of training, teaching a congregation a whole new setting?
Well, first let's just see what people have done in their own parishes. Yeah, you want to answer that?
We've substituted one part, like the Kyrie, the new part, the new Kyrie one Sunday, and then the rest of the service is something they're already familiar with. Mm-hmm. We move on like month by month.
Yeah, we introduced Now the Feast in the last year, and there was some music, because it was in with the voice, they were familiar with, so we started with those, and then added the pieces, but we kept, unlike what you did, we kept the service just from that setting, but we leave certain things out, and then add as we went along. Over, you know, a period of months that we got the whole thing.
We always taught the choir first.
Yeah, choir first.
We did those things too, but this is why I go into the Green Book. We really wanted to make it a success. We started, and we had like cottage meetings, and we went to people's homes and said we're going to be in so-and-so's home. You know, we had all set up a schedule. So a lot of the congregation came for singing and coffee, and by the time Sunday came, we were all ready to sing.
Yeah, another idea around that is that, you know, if there's a midweek night or an annual meeting or something, you know, take the half hour before and say, people come early and learn this music. You know, it's not on a Sunday, but you might get 20, 25 people there to learn some music. And,
I don't know if it was before or after. We had, I think maybe after the service, we would invite people to stay and learn, you know, a couple parts of the new liturgy that would be coming and, you know, 3 months down the road, and you know, learn the Kyrie this week and learn the Gloria the next.
Good idea.
When we were learning Now the Feast, the choir learned it first, but they also sang the sections as offertories or during communion beforehand, and we let the congregation know we're going to learn a new liturgy. This is the choir is going to be singing the offertory or during communion this Sunday, and it'll be this. So they heard it more than once by the choir before they actually got it. And then we did introduce it a little bit. You know, we've introduced before the service, but they heard the choir do it.
That's a good idea.
Times.
You can use prayer. You know, sometimes I've played music that's going to appear later in a service as a prelude, just for the purpose of having it in people's ears.
Yeah, we do that. We play the music in a prelude. That, instrumentally, that might be coming later on, and then we also have the worship team do the piece, the special music, sometime during the service, like during an offering, to acquaint the congregation.
Good idea. Yep.
We would have the rehearsal before the service of a piece of the liturgy, and let the choir sing all the rest of the service, and then next week add another piece for the congregation, and the choir sings the rest, so that they're hearing it all and just adding a piece a week till they know it
all.
Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Yes. Thank you.
Great.
Shall we talk, have more discussion as we listen to people do songs?
I was going to teach my one that I've never taught before, just for practice.
I thought it was
one. No, that wasn't it. This is one that you don't know. This is one you don't know, and I've never taught it before. I don't think you know. This is a Greek Orthodox Kyrie, and I would appreciate feedback on how I teach it. We're going to sing the words Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Sing back what I sing to you. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Yeah, I was doing that.
Mini hand motions.
I noticed that. Well, I shouldn't be. I'm just saying, you're not supposed to be doing this. I don't know it as well as I should. That's why I was doing that. I was kind of helping myself.
Why do you not use a piano?
Well, I mean, one of our philosophies is that I think it's easier for you to sing back what a human voice sings than what a piano plays. Now, if I couldn't get the pitches right, I think I might have a piano plunk it out with me.
But if I didn't feel the second time back when we were supposedly supposed to have it memorized, if we had a piano to call it.
Yeah, that might have, you know, we might have at that point added instruments. Mm-hmm. Although this is a Greek Orthodox Kyrie, right. So it would traditionally be done a cappella. It's just the nature of the song is that you would be doing it in a big Orthodox cathedral, and everyone would sing a cappella in unison. So that's probably why. But on other songs, it would be the case that we would do exactly what you said. We would teach it first, and we'd add instruments once people got going. That's a good point. Yeah?
I have a question. I appreciate that I heard the whole song, so I knew where it was going. Is there a benefit to breaking it first before you sing the whole song?
No, I think that might be a good idea. I could sing the whole song and then break it apart. Yeah, that's another good idea.
I think that is.
That's what I was going to say. It would have been helpful to have maybe done it broken down twice before we actually did it. Because there were so many moving parts.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, which way were we moving? If we had done it twice, it might have been more reinforced.
Okay, helpful. Yeah.
Would you have put the music in the bulletin to go along with it, or
know.
Just the words?
I'd like to think that I could get a congregation to sing that without music, but I don't know. I mean, I think if the music was in there, I might not have broken it up as much, because I would have, if I knew my congregation were good music readers, I probably would have sung it once through in its entirety and hoped that everyone could recite read that.
Okay.
having heard it once.
Yes, I would do that with my congregation.
Unless I knew that congregation didn't read music well. And that is also cultural and reach. I mean, in Minneapolis, I would have done, I mean, for sure people read music very well. In other parts of the country, they don't always.
That Kyrie is used by the person who does the music for our confirmation camp.
Oh, really?
And so we use it at, it's used at our confirmation camp for the past couple of years that I've been there. And so you have confirmants, and it's done without music, and it's done beautifully.
A couple more, and then we'll go on to somebody else. Yeah?
I was just going to comment on the piano issue. I would avoid the piano as much as possible, because otherwise they start depending on it instead of their own voices. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just got to that. I agree with you, and I want to just say, when you're talking about that, it's ironic that Tom would say that, because Tom is a keyboard player, and oftentimes, Tom, when you're learning a new thing, you will sit down and play it on the piano yourself. And I think for keyboard players, it is sort of a natural extension of your voice, because you're so used to playing it. And I would challenge all of you who feel that way to try to do things just a cappella. For one thing, it's a really fun reading skill, is to just look at a piece of music and try to sing it. If you read, you know, if you are a person who reads music, obviously. And then for another thing, it's great to practice modeling just the voice teaching.
As someone who doesn't read music, when I'm teaching a piece like that, or learning these pieces, what I found wonderful is, since I sort of read music. I mean, I understand the time, and I understand the notes, you know, but really I can't look at it and just start humming. But I can hear, I find it much easier to do just what you said, Tom, is that it's easier to imitate a human voice than it is a piano. I feel much more confident doing that. Maybe that's because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, and this is the other thing, and I said this yesterday, is if we were really spread out, you'd not be able to sing what I just taught you.
Yeah.
It's the fact that we're sitting close together that helps. So, you know, don't even try this in a congregation where people are really scattered. It will not work. So you got to do some things before you even start.
So the closer, yeah.
Let's. Who does anyone want to lead us on?
Please. Be bold.
Be bold.
The advance point versus everyone will forget.
I'd like to teach you a song. This song is based on Micah 6:8, so some of the words might be familiar to you. The words to the song are, "What does the Lord require of you?" And there are three verses to it, but the first verse is, "What does the Lord require of you?" And we'll sing that through twice, and it goes like this. Take a deep breath here.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you?
Okay, so repeat after me. I'm going to raise it up, I think, just a little bit, because it seems kind of low.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you?
Very good, you guys. Oh, yeah. The second part of this is, to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. And it goes like this.
To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly.
Kindness, walk humbly with our God. And it goes like this.
Justice, kindness, walk humbly with our God. Justice, kindness, walk humbly with our God.
And now we're going to put all three of those together.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you?
this up into a rant, so I'm going to start with this. And then we're going to go, then this section, we're going to sing each verse, I should say, we're going to sing each verse through twice. So we'll start this section, then we'll move here. Or
how does this work?
Yes. And then here. Yeah.
That
works. So also here.
What does the Lord require of you? 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 What does the
will be familiar to you. That's really helpful.
You smile.
You smile. Yeah. Other really positive comments you want to add?
Good or negative. No.
We'll get there.
We'll
start with the
positive.
Well, I think that you recognized where the difficult places were going to be and you directed your attention to that group to help them get through it.
Yeah,
that was very, very helpful.
It would have been helpful if she had had one or two other people up there with her when she broke in.
Let's get to that. But first of all, do you want to make some comments?
Yes, I just wanted to say that I thought your demeanor, and this is often true with a song leader, was just perfect. It was welcoming, but not drawing too much attention to yourself, as though, now I'm going to sing for you, and, you know, here's... I'll sing much more beautifully than you will. Because I know this song so much better. No, of course not. Don't ever say that. You had a wonderful presence and a good demeanor, very welcoming. You have a lovely voice and a perfect style of song leading voice. You know, as we said in our comment, they're plain, good to follow, easy to follow your pitches. I thought that was very good. I don't think you needed to teach it anymore, contrary to what you said. I think if the pitch had been higher, it would have been easier for us to find those pitches, especially on that last part. We would have been fine.
I'll make some comments. Let me see. I was trying to think of these and remember them, and then I didn't. When you first had us come in, I wasn't quite sure that you wanted us all to come in. So I think to be really clear about that, At the end of the line when you sing, to do an inviting gesture, just so it's really clear you want us to start with you. And if you can do that in time, rather than stopping, then you kind of have to start over almost. So that would be one suggestion. And then, what was my other suggestion? Well, my others can add, and then I'll think of mine.
So we're going to all kinds of suggestions.
Yeah, all kinds of suggestions. Okay. How did you experience? What might have been helpful? I mean, we had one already. I think the whole business of a round, there's all sorts of, I mean, it's the hardest thing to do. So it was ambitious, but I'm really glad that you tried it.
Yeah. I liked listening to the bit of syncopation. Between the first two parts, sitting here as the third group that was quiet, it was like, oh, cool, you know.
And one thing that when I'm leading around alone and I'm starting with this group, I would get this group going. I'd point to the second group, but I'd stay with this group because they're doing a new part. Yeah. This group is doing a part they just heard this part sing. And so you have to kind of divide your attention. You got to make sure these people start, but these people have the hard task. They're doing the second part that they can't remember.
So do you start? Do you motion for them to start and then jump right back to?
Yeah, I would make sure that this group was with one hand was going to start. They knew where they were going to start. They know what to sing because they just heard it. But then I would go back to this group and make sure they had it. Now, this is the problem with doing a round with one person is that then you got to go over here and you got two other groups going. So if it's possible to get two friends to learn this, you have three people in three sections, and you have this one and you have this one, and they follow each person. Sometimes we have three people start with one group, and then two people go on to the second group, and then one person goes on to the third group. That's another way to do it. But if you only have one person, it is really, it's a challenge. And I thought you did really well because you were attentive to the group's needs.
I noticed, may I ask a question of you two?
Yeah.
I noticed in your song leadership, the way you so seamlessly jump from one part of the round to another and join with one group over here who's at this point in the song and then turn this way and join them. And I know for myself, I would be like listening, okay, where are you in the song? Okay, I get it. Okay, now let me help you. I mean, it would not be seamless. And I'm wondering if you have any tips. Is it just practice?
Knowing it really well.
Yeah.
And if you let that two, three more times,
I have one more thing to say. I don't know how else to phrase this, but you were very graceful in your whole movements, your gestures. And one hand doing it was fine.
Yeah. The hand thing is just practice. You'll learn that in a minute. It's just practicing in front of a mirror or with one other person.
But that is great that you got up there and did that, because now all of you remember that even something that appears to you to be simple, you have to practice because you're not even sure quite if the pitch is going up or down yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think because of the syncopation and the relative uncertainty, by the time that all three parts were going and the distance from one part to another was hard to keep together on the beat. And I wonder, after starting something like that, if you just had an arm going for where the beat is, where the main pulse is, and that everybody could watch, that it would help everyone stay where with the beat.
This is another thing about rounds, and I would say this is the point at which some simple instrumentation does help, because it does keep a beat. And it could play chords and let you know where the round's going. Whereas sometimes it's hard to keep a round synchronized without some instrument. Even a hand drum might do it, but a good pianist might help keep the round in sync. Yeah.
Just as a comment, one of the things that I do when I'm practicing hand motions is I do it to a mirror.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good at showing you what you're doing for the people who are looking at you. Mm-hmm. And it also makes you a little less self-conscious about doing it, because you've already seen yourself do it. Mm-hmm.
Tell me your name once again. Janet. Let's give Janet a hand. Janet did was much harder than what I had to do, because I was with 12 people and they all had to go up and do the same thing, and you, most of you, don't have to do that. So she was very brave. Another person wanted to lead a song.
Yeah.
going to teach you a song that's wonderful for Pentecost. You probably know some of the text, Spirit of a Living God, fall fresh on me. Here's how it goes. Spirit of the Living God,
Spirit of the Living God,
fall fresh on me.
Fall fresh on me.
Melt me, mold me.
Melt me, mold me.
Sing the whole thing? That's it. That's it. Yeah. Oh, it's all call and response. Yeah, that's all call and response. It's just a little thing. And that was
sing it.
Sing it.
One more time.
Okay, yeah.
Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God.
Fall fresh on me.
Fall fresh on me.
Melt me, mold me.
Melt me, mold me.
Sandra had told me about that one earlier, and I wanted to learn it better, so thank you. Now I have. And can't you think of a lot of possibilities for that simple call and response with drones and bells and a little drum, a little dance, movement? I mean, there's lots you could do with it. I thought you let it just right.
And, confident, straightforward. You didn't waste a lot of time. You didn't need a lot of time. The text was simple enough, you didn't have to do a lot. So sometimes a song leader will make a song more difficult than it really is, and I thought you got right to it, and that was great.
I wasn't sure whether or not to do this business. I thought it seemed short enough.
Did people think you needed it?
Yeah. No. Would have been distracting to have around there. Good call, good call.
And her dynamics, we followed, and I thought that was very effective when she was softer than we were softer.
And because it's something where there are words that you could expect everyone would know, I thought you did not spending time going over words, just doing it.
And part of that is the text was familiar to us.
Yes.
That had been, a lot of times we teach songs in another language or stuff that's really unfamiliar, you might have had to spend more time.
Yeah. But she recognized that this is something we'd probably know.
Exactly.
Especially this group.
I noticed one thing that I had a question about. I didn't know if you wanted us to hold out the last note, because you did.
I didn't know.
The second time, and we didn't. And if I had wanted you to, I think I would have stopped and instructed the group, hold out the last line. Yeah. And it's actually kind of nice when you do, but I didn't know if you wanted us to, but you did it, and I was trying to follow what you did. So I would say either yourself cut it off or invite people to, in one way, Spirit of the Living God. You can do that with your hand, and people will follow you. You don't even have to say it with a word. But anyway, that's just a suggestion.
And your question along the same line. If you've got a phrase that you're repeating and sometimes you get into repeating it just because it may be just if you're trying to repeat a phrase, you are repeating a phrase, and you want to signal to stop. What kind of hand motion do you just close like that, or?
That's good. I've asked myself that, and I don't think I've actually found my ideal. You mean like if you were doing a Taizé chant or something,
right?
I did like it put
right
on the cross.
Yeah, you've got the whole group singing, and they're singing, and you want
right
to.
Let's try something. Let's do. How about if we do, what one did we do at Prayer on the Cross that we all know now that was just repetitive? We did, but they weren't one. Okay.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus.
sound. You could direct actually the end of that like a choir director would, come into your kingdom, and put a little, however you normally end things, choir director ending, and that would be precise. But trying to just be simple with your hand motions might be nice. So this is my favorite one so far. Just this is the end.
I know that particular one is done a lot during communion and in our congregation, and there isn't anybody who's leading it. And what the organist or the pianist usually does is just slow down that last, and it's an indicator.
Retired is always good.
And also, part of the genius of that music is, you know, sometimes it doesn't stop. But the spirit leads it, and it keeps going until everyone feels like they've sung enough, and you let the community decide when it's done. And if that's all you sing during Eucharist, and they're doing it on their own, then it's serving its purpose, and you don't try to stop it. I mean, if I had that happen, I go, I wish they'd stop singing this. We've got another song playing. But
it's a really good one.
I really love playing it.
I actually was at Tizay this summer, and one of the things that struck me, which was amazing, is that the focus is all forward, and there isn't a leader per se, but at a time, I guess, when the community, the worship leaders, whoever they may be, their voice sort of came up on a mic. I mean, you didn't see them, you didn't know them, but their voice, and you all have done that several times here even, you just sort of, by your voice and by slowing down, as you say, it just sort of happened, and it wasn't directed per se,
that's
just sort of the spirit kind of.
I remember being at TZ, and I can't think now of how things ended.
It was kind of mystical.
Magical.
I think almost in any song that I lead, I almost never tell people how many times you're going to sing it. Because I can do that through motions, and people are never going to remember, is this the fourth or the fifth time?
Right.
But they will watch my hand. I mean, if I'm song leading well, I can stop them or I can keep them going by just doing this. So telling them you're going to sing it three times through, to me, is just unnecessary, because you might find out, oh, the pastor's not ready, let's keep it going.
Right.
Anybody else? Let's have another song.
Another thing that happens at PSA or here in the women community, when it's small and there isn't a music director necessarily, is there's some kind of, not to deconstruct the Holy Spirit, but there's a kind of consensus thing that goes with that repeating, and it can be 15 or 20 times, and then people start humming, and then gradually as more people hum, then the feeling gets to, then there's a retard and an end, but so that the community itself
comes to consensus about what is
known,
and that's okay.
That's very cool. Sometimes if that works.
Someone else want to lead us on?
Bold.
I only do one out of Gather, so I'm going to do something a little different now. Pass out these books so that we'll actually.
So if someone could help you,
that'd be great. Alright, I have a question.
Yeah.
After watching our great movie last night, someone told me their choir director said, never eat chocolate before you go to school. That, I don't know. True.
Some people find it to be true, and I think they might have like a little chocolate allergy or something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
People have said milk and dairy products and chocolate. Are there real vocal specialists here that know more than I do? I've had a lot of voice teachers, but I have never found anything that has made me not be able to sing. I have eaten everything before I've sung, and nothing's ever stopped me. So I don't know.
I think the milk does.
Yeah,
I noticed
it.
Milk
can kind of coat your.
Yeah,
some people get
it. It's better if you have blood in your throat.
If you have blood in your throat, chips figure it out really well. Amy Grant uses it as a poor content. She has like a scratchy throat. Potato chips really
do that.
Lemon.
Before we start, can I just say one thing for vocal health that I would like to recommend? Water.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that Peg is teaching it to those who have access to books, and don't worry that not everyone can see one at this point, because we didn't know there'd be
three people.
If you can't see one, don't use
that.
Don't use that.
This is a wonderful song for beginning the morning. This is part of the morning prayer, and I just love this song. So, I'm sorry.
Number one.
Two. I think it's on page two for you. Yes, page two. And this is a simple enough song. It's very melodic. So I'm going to sing it all the way through once so that you can hear it, because I think you'll pick it up right away. And since the music is here. Sing your joy, proclaim God's glory. Rise and sing, the morn has come. Bless our God and praise all creation. Song of the earth and light from heaven. God is alive. Alleluia. So let's try that together.
Sing your joy, proclaim God's glory. Rise and sing, the morning has come. Bless our God and praise all creation. Song of the earth and light from heaven. God is alive. Alleluia.
You sound perfect.
Comments from the audience? Very confident.
Yes. A nice introduction.
And she gave us confidence.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think there's always a risk when you say it's really simple, you'll pick it up right away. And you're like, that would be the only thing. Otherwise,
so that wasn't as helpful for you to say that?
I believe you.
Other comments?
I think it may work better in a room full of music readers than my congregation.
Yeah. I wondered, even if you have this in front of you, if you couldn't have broken it down.
Yeah.
And you sang the first line, and then we sang that back, and then you said the second line is similar but slightly different, and it sounds like this, and then we sang that back. But it's not too long to actually do that line by line. Then we all start at verse one, and then you could go right through the whole thing after that, after you've broken it down.
Another way to do this, if you have singers that aren't quite as good as this, if they sang it through and they had a place where they didn't quite get it right, I would go back to that place and just start there. For instance, after they finished singing Alleluia, I would just stop and say, third line, bless our God and praise.
Bless our God and praise.
If they have a difficult spot, just do that measure and then say, sounds great, let's start again. So don't be afraid to do that. If they didn't get one part right, go back just to that part, but make sure they know where you are. And sing the difficult part, maybe accentuate where you think the drop might be difficult, and let them sing it once. And if they don't get it again, let them sing it again, and then start over. This group didn't have that problem, but I can imagine, like you said, if it was a group of not quite as good singers, that they might have difficulty.
I do that with my choir when I'm teaching them a new hymn, and say we take that phrase and go over it, and then we go through each verse singing that same phrase, so that really reinforces it, so that each time we come to that part in each verse, it's very helpful.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And I would have done it in a different group.
Yeah. Sure, exactly. You didn't need to do any more with this group than you did. That's great.
I also just want to reiterate to people, which thank you for illustrating this, that business about saying what page we're on at the very beginning, that we do it all the time. And it's a great reminder that when you get up, you really do need to take a deep breath first, because you're kind of thinking all the way ahead, that third line is going to be hard and I got to remember to practice that. And that you need to just stop and say, we're singing in the Gather hymnal on page two, back to basics.
Marty Hawke did that, what was it, this morning or yesterday?
Yes.
He didn't say what book it was, he didn't have the right page number, so it's not uncommon to do that.
Marty Hawke did that.
They're
all very loyal.
Yeah.
All pulled off the book. The other thing I've done.
done is I've taught a whole song in a foreign language, and everyone sung it, and I never gave the translation. I have no idea what they were singing. That's my frustration. So if you're singing a song in another language, make sure they know what it means. Even if it's something simple like Señor, ten piedad, don't assume that they know that that's Kyrie eleison. And don't assume that everyone knows that Kyrie eleison means Lord have mercy.
That's right.
And people say, what is Kyrie eleison? And church workers, worship people know what that means, but you can't assume that everyone does.
Anyone else ready to want to do a song for? We're getting ready to end.
I don't want to do a song. I have a comment. And that is, in all of the things that I have been observing, both people presenting their songs here and watching you as you have taught us songs, I find it easier to become enthusiastic and get into the rhythm of the song and really feel it as I see you get excited about it. Mm-hmm. You're Mary, when you start moving with it, for example, that lets me know I'm free to get into it.
Great. I have a question. Microphone versus no microphone. Which is...
Well, we have this on the sheet. If you check out on that song leading sheet, it says number 11. If everyone can hear you without using a microphone, don't use it.
And we have a stage in our church. Would it be always better to stand up on the stage or to get closer to the congregation?
No, that's a good question. I think if everyone's sitting like this, it's just what someone raised earlier. What are the sight lines? If you're all sitting like this and this pit wasn't here, I'd stand right in the middle here because that would be easy. But if the room was a lot bigger and you were a lot farther away and there was a little raised platform here, I bet I would probably get up. Just see if you can see people.
In the Village Center, I wish that there was 6 inches up for a song leader. Because some of the sight lines are not, there isn't that kind of platform there. I wish there was but I don't think I'd want to be higher than that. If you're up here, you're just too, I don't know what it is, it's like a performance on stage, and above you, it's uncomfortable for me.
You're afraid to fall off backwards. Yeah. Just walk down the aisles, or is that way too distracting?
While leading?
Yeah.
I have done it if the song calls for it. If we're doing like we did the first day, come go with me to that land, come and go, and people are up and they're clapping, I'll go up. And especially after people know what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it depends on the song, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching parts.
Well, we haven't done too much of that, have we?
I
wonder if anybody here has prepared something where they're going to do parts would be...
I'll try one. Pretty easy one.